The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
Oh, my. We have a very busy news afternoon, including the big news you've been hearing here at the top of the hour. Let's get right into The Big Lead.
The Big Lead. Breaking news.
Well, it's about as big a fall as you can imagine. As we get rolling here from the Carter Subaru Studios and streaming on Facebook Live, Bill Cosby, who is one of the all-time biggest showbiz stars in our country, he has just been sentenced to a minimum of 3 years in prison, could be up to 10 years. And at his age, that could be a life sentence. As you know, so many women accused Bill Cosby of sexual assault. He talked about himself. He worked it into some of his bits years ago about giving women knockout pills and all of that. And after an avalanche of compelling testimony against him, Bill Clinton was found guilty
weeks ago.
What did I say?
Clinton. Cosby.
Well.
Freudian.
Yeah. I mean, let's face it. If anybody else deserves to be in prison for 3 to 10 years for what they did to women. But Bill, jeez. That's a bad mistake. Thank you. Uh-huh. Bill Cosby. Bill Clinton inexplicably remains a free man today. But yes, Bill Cosby has just been sentenced to minimum of 3 years and up to 10 years in prison. He's been taken into custody. And
he's in handcuffs. They were trying to say that he's frail, legally blind, but the judge said, nope. He is a danger to the community, and he needs to be taken to prison now.
Yeah, and as I said, back in the 60s, he really started his stand-up career, but was also the star of the number one show on network television with The Cosby Show.
I loved that show. I will tell you, I thought he was the perfect dad.
Yeah, I know. That's why this is such an incredible fall, that he was somebody who was so universally beloved. And I know a lot of stand-up comedians. I never liked his stand-up routines. They just weren't my cup of tea. But I know a lot of very respected comedians, including Jerry Seinfeld, who cited him as one of the greatest comedians of all time, one of the biggest TV stars in network television history. A state psychologist at the sentencing this morning said that Cosby has an uncontrollable urge to molest women and that he would be certain to reoffend if he was still a free man. His victims testified. They said that life as they knew it ended the night they were molested by Bill Cosby. And the sentencing has just been handed down in the last 20 minutes or so, minimum of 3 years, up to 10 years in prison. And
here's one other thing to think about. Yeah. So this is for the case involving Andrea Constand.
Mm-hmm.
She is one of 60 women who've made accusations against him.
Yeah. And she,
I mean, this was a lifetime of offending.
And she confronted him in court, as part of this whole process. I'm trying to think. You know, O.J. Simpson certainly comes to mind, but he was found not guilty. He lost in a civil trial. But I'm trying to think of an equivalent star of that magnitude falling this far. And there aren't too many that come to mind. There just are not. And so Bill Cosby will spend at least 3 years, up to 10 years in prison. And a life that seemed so magical and charmed with all of his performance gifts, but he's going away for what could be the rest of his life. So huge news today is Bill Cosby has now been sentenced and is going away. Up next in The Big Lead.
The Big Lead. I sense a Dory rant coming on.
I just find it not surprising, but I continue to find it outrageous as Just 12 minutes ago at noon today, students in many Seattle schools were walking out of class, walking out of school. What I find so outrageous about this is that it was a Seattle City Councilwoman, Kshama Sawant, who was the motivator behind the school walkout. And it's because one of the schools is losing some students, or losing a couple of teachers, rather, because their student enrollment is so far down. And so Kshama Sawant, needing, as I mentioned yesterday, what she needs for her political life to be relevant, she needs people who think they are victims. And so she has been screaming at the top of her lungs that these kids are victims. Because for socialism to succeed, you need to convince people that they're helpless, that they have no control over their life, that if they don't have government being their provider, if government doesn't take the other guy's stuff and give it to them, then they have no shot in the world. That is the dangerous message that Kshama Sawant tries to shove down the throats of the most mindless of students. Now, the strong-willed, confident, I'm going to take care of my life, I'm going to carve my own way, I'm not going to rely on government to steal other people's property to give to me, those kids are not susceptible to her message. But the weak are. And in Seattle, sadly, we have an awful lot of weak people because we do have government and the government schools that have told people time and again, you are a victim. You have no chance. Government has to be your provider. And so the weakest fall into the little cult of Sawant. And what happened here was at Nova High School, an alternative high school in the Seattle schools, they have an enrollment that's way off, and so they're moving two teachers from that school to some other Seattle public schools. And so Sawant believes that that is worthy of a school walkout.
But educators are under attack. What do we do?
Stand up like that!
Yeah. Love her voice, man. Can't get enough of her. So why are they walking out today?
Why is it that in the year that you are finally having a surplus that you have now decided to cut educator positions?
Okay, and the Seattle Public Schools have already responded to that. They said they're not cutting any of these teachers. They're reallocating them based on the enrollment of the schools. But again, for Sawant, facts are irrelevant. She's, you know, how she got an econ degree, I will never know. Because, let's face it, she's not the brightest bulb in the drawer. But she says, oh, this is just the first of many that will victimize you poor children.
If we don't fight against this measure, proposed measure to move students from NOAA, teachers from NOAA, then we know what's coming after that. There will be further cuts.
Okay. First, she said in the last soundbite, she said they're cutting teachers. And then in the 1 second later, she said they're moving teachers. There's a pretty big difference. But again, when you're talking to kids who want to just believe they're victims, and this is what I find so dangerous about her and all socialists, is we have, and we're seeing the manifestation of this with adults in Seattle. And when I say adults, I mean that in terms of biological age only, because we have a bunch of emotional juveniles running around who have just been taught that they are victims, who have, you know, come to just repeat that mantra over and over again, and they just spend all their energy with anger and demanding that the city council take other people's money and give it to them. If they put half of that energy that they put into, let's confiscate other people's stuff, if they put half of that energy into developing their own job skills and marketability and ability to earn, they would be fantastically successful. But that is exactly what Sawant and the rest of the socialists on the Seattle City Council want. They want a bunch of people who are helpless. They want a bunch of people who feel like they have no shot without government. They want you in economic handcuffs. You don't have the common sense or the self-confidence to compete and to make your own way in the world. They want you to be beholden to them. And it, you know, the poor kids, Cairo TV and some of the kids at the school who have fallen under her evil spell.
This last school year was the first full year of school I have completed all the way through without leaving in 5 years. It would not have been possible whatsoever if it had not been for the support network of the Nova staff.
It would be possible if you had the strength to say, I'm not going to drop out of school. I'm going to get my degree, or I'm going to graduate. I'm going to try to go to college. I'm going to develop my skills. But instead, and it's the movement is called Socialist Students that Sawant has galvanized. And it is. It's horribly sad to me because it is such a damaging message. And I've told you guys a million times, I grew up with that message. You know, we're in poverty, and I hope somebody will just come and provide some miracle to us. And I realized when I was about 14, 15 years old, nah, you got to rely on yourself. Because Sawant doesn't care about any of these kids. She couldn't possibly care less. There's only one thing Sawant cares about, and that's her political career. And the kids are tools. They're pawns in her wanting to climb the National Socialist ladder. Here's a student explaining why they are walking as socialist students.
We as young people want our futures funded. This is why Socialist Students is standing in solidarity with students as they call for a district-wide walkout to demand full retention of all educators, full funding for schools and education, and for the district to honor the educators' contracts and pay them a livable wage.
Okay, well, they're making plenty of money. They got a huge raise this year. Your school enrollment is way down, so they can't justify keeping the teacher numbers where they are. And when you talk about wanting your future fully funded, you got to fund your own future. It's like this lie about free college that Mayor Durkin is peddling. It's not free college. It's taking money from taxpayers so that they can provide community college for other people's kids. And as I've told you and I've gone through the numbers, if those kids got part-time jobs, they could easily pay for their own community college. I had to work full-time. I had to work 50 hours a week when I was going to Shoreline Community College, which was all I could afford. But I could only afford it if I worked 50 hours a week. $2.50 an hour. $2.50 an hour I got at the print shop, for crying out loud. So you want to fully fund your future? Take care of it yourself. Don't rely on charlatans like Kashama Sawant to fund your future. Next up in the Big Lead.
The Big Lead, Bizarro World.
I tell you what, our friend Gary Horker, reporter at Cairo 7 News, he had a shocking story last night out of Burien. As you know, huge gang problem in Burien. It was two 17-year-olds who were arrested in the drive-by attempted gang hit, but they missed their intended target. One of the bullets went through the window of a chiropractic office and killed a 51-year-old woman who was just sitting at her desk trying to do her job. Another 17-year-old has now been arrested. But a 15-year-old in a separate incident was arrested down in Burien. And the police chief in Burien has had it. Listen to Gary Horker's story about what they did with this 15-year-old kid.
A third 17-year-old suspect is now accused of hiding the handgun used in last week's gang-related drive-by shooting in Burien, which killed 51-year-old respected community leader Gabrielle Reyes Dominguez with a stray bullet.
That's very hard to know that we're not safe anywhere.
But we've also learned that 17-year-old they arrested had already been convicted of possession of a handgun.
As this community, we have to stand up and say enough.
Tonight, Burien's police chief, Ted Bow, talked about the ongoing gang war in his city, which led to 6 shooting deaths in 2 years.
Okay, it is a tremendous gang war problem. You also have a city that citizens got enough signatures to get a vote on the ballot to say, hey, let's revoke sanctuary status. And the city leaders said, no, we want to still be a sanctuary city. So I asked the question, how many illegals are involved in these gangs that are committing so many murders? Oh, we don't know. We're not allowed to ask that question about citizenship status. So you have a tremendous problem, and they're not even allowed to ask a critical question that would help identify exactly the root cause of that problem. But listen to this. What happened with this 15-year-old?
Now, Chief Bow told the city council that just last night, they caught gang members with guns and had to let them go.
Our officer stopped a car occupied by several known gang members. One of the passengers was an intoxicated 15-year-old youth with a prior conviction for possession of a firearm and a current case pending for possession of a firearm on school grounds.
Okay. Possession of a gun on school grounds. Kid goes to Highline High School. He's drunk 2 nights ago. They pull him over in a car filled with known gang members. He's drunk with a gun, with prior convictions for having a gun. So what do we do with this kid?
The school he's referring to is Highline High School, where all 3 drive-by shooting suspects were students.
And other firearms were visible on the floor. When the officers attempted to book the youth, booking was denied.
What? Denied? Booking was denied of a 15-year-old known gang member who's had guns at Highline High School. How comforting is that to the parents of other Highline High School kids?
This left the officers with no choice but to take the juvenile home and release him.
Burien City Council members asked the chief who decides to send home an intoxicated 15-year-old gang member after being caught with guns.
I think that would be a political leadership question.
Today, King County Sheriff Mitzi Johanknik announced $842,000 will be spent to bring back a gang task force, which was cut out of the budget 4 years ago.
How about that? There's a city leadership question. Hey, Mr. Mayor, Mayor Mata, City Council in Burien, you're putting the lives of all the innocent good kids at Highline High School at risk because you won't allow the booking of a drunk, gun-toting gang member with priors. You sent them home. Sounds like they're doing a bang-up job at home.
The guns, as we know, are handed off from one set of bad guys to the next. You know, 10% of the actors are doing 90% of this crime.
But we're just setting them free. Catch and release. And then people wonder why innocent people are getting gunned down in Burien. Yeah, we got some serious problems. That is your big lead for today.
The Big Lead on Cairo Radio.
Going to check the news for you. And then we're going to talk to a community activist who, as far as I can tell, doing great work trying to work with these kids who are in gangs. But one thing he and I disagree on, he says no youth jail. So I'll talk to him about all of that next as we get rolling here on the Dory Monson Show. Well, we have seen and heard all of these horrible stories in the news about kids, teenagers who are getting involved in gang violence. Last week in Burien, of course, it was 2 17-year-olds who have been charged with murder. It was an attempted gang hit, but a 51-year-old receptionist at a chiropractic office was the innocent victim of that stray bullet. So what do we do about all of these kids on the street? One guy who's a community activist, Dominique Davis, he goes by Coach Tom. He joins us here on Cairo Radio. Coach Tom, appreciate you coming on with me this afternoon.
Thank you, Dory. Thank you. I'm glad to be here. I'm looking forward to having this conversation with you.
Yeah, and let me start by saying that I admire people who invest their time and their energy into kids. As a longtime coach myself, I know that, you know, kids who stay active in extracurriculars, whether it be athletics or drama or band, that they have a better chance of succeeding, lower dropout rate, lower teen pregnancy rate. They do better. So I appreciate people like you who are involved in the community like that.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. I appreciate your efforts also.
Okay. So now one of the things, I saw a news piece with you on Q13, and one area where I think you and I will likely disagree, Dom, is you believe that jail is not the answer for kids who get into violence. So tell me about that.
So my whole thing is throughout the years of us having a punitive system and us really just focusing on more patrols in the streets, more jails, longer jail sentences, more young people going to jail for criminal offenses, I don't see that it has made a difference in the violence that we've been dealing with, in the criminal activity that we've been dealing with, in the gang activities that we've been dealing with. I don't see a difference has been being made through the punitive lens. I feel like there needs to be something that is deeper, that goes into the root causes.
Sure.
Why these young people are taking these actions and gravitating to the streets. One of the things that we've been able to do in my organization called Community Passageways is that we have been able to start opening up doors of opportunity for these young people and start giving them some hope and some opportunities for them to be successful, and doing that with mentors that have been where they've been, have experienced the barriers they've experienced, and have came out of it successfully to change their lives, and now are giving back to change the lives of these young people.
Okay.
Those are the people that these young people listen to.
And look, I'm all for that as a proactive measure to try to keep kids away from violence. But once they commit crimes, Dom, we got to punish them for those crimes, don't we? Because, I mean, I know that there's this no youth jail movement around here, and I saw an interview where they said regardless of the crime they commit, we should not be locking up kids. And what do we do for the kids who are violent offenders?
Well, I look at it like this. There are some crimes that some people might need to go do some time for. But while they're doing, they shouldn't be doing these extended amounts of time. There's sexual crimes that my organization doesn't deal with. And then there's some murder crimes that people commit, you know, first degree murders or something like that. Then maybe they should. But when you're getting sentenced to jail and prison time for nonviolent offenses, or just getting caught for having a gun, or even some robbery ones where nobody got hurt, let's get these kids a second opportunity to be successful by giving them some opportunities to go back to school, to get a job, an internship, an apprenticeship, to learn some skills. That way you don't take that same traumatized kid that was out here acting out on the trauma that they've already experienced and then going out and causing more trauma. You don't take that kid and lock them up in a jail cell in a situation where they're getting more traumatized and then release them back out into the community and expect that they're going to be rehabilitated.
Okay, well, did you hear about...
Other kids... Oh, go ahead.
Okay, well, there was a story. I talked about it in my Big Lead just a few minutes ago. A 15-year-old kid in Burien who was arrested... Did you hear about this in the news today? Kid in Burien.
Today?
Yeah. Kid in Burien, he has previous convictions for having a gun. He was arrested for being drunk. He had a firearm. They took him in to be booked, and they just released him. And this is a kid who goes to Highline High School. He's got previous offenses of having a gun at school. I mean, how do you not lock up a kid like that if he's going to be a danger and a threat to the other students at his high school?
So with a kid like that, those are the kind of kids that I work with. And that would be the kind of kid that I don't think would benefit from doing jail time. All that kid would do he would come out hardened. He would go to jail. He would come out harder than when he went in, and he would come out and still commit maybe even a worse offense than just carrying a gun. So since he got caught drunk, since he's known for carrying a gun, put him on house arrest, give him to an organization like mine and other ones that do the work in the community, and let us start mentoring him and guiding him, dealing with his trauma, dealing with the issues that he's dealing with at home, start getting his basic needs met, start mentoring him and helping him understand that you are important. You do have hope and a reason to live. Let's show you that there is some purpose in your life.
But we're talking about somebody, he has a previous offense. So he's gotten a second chance, and there is a certain inevitability that if kids get a second chance, a third chance, at some point, somebody's going to get hurt. Somebody's going to be at the wrong end of his gun. And I think it's wonderful that you care about these offenders, but I worry about the innocent victims of some of these criminals. And I got a ton of stories here, Don. I did a bunch of research. 16-year-old in Chehalis who was charged with rape of a boy. A 14-year-old in Kent charged with raping an 8-year-old girl. I mean, when we're talking about rapes, we got to lock these kids up, don't we?
Yeah, I mean, even if you do lock those kids up, they need to be getting a ton of services to deal with. Because most of the time when somebody rapes somebody, somebody's been raped. Most of the time when somebody molests somebody, somebody's been molested. Instead of just locking them up and then letting them back out if they serve their time to go do something else, there needs to be some services put in place. And, Dory, I also have a ton of stories of kids that have been caught with guns multiple times, kids that have robbed people with guns in people's faces multiple times, and now they're working jobs, they're graduating high school, some of them are going to college, some are starting their own businesses, mm-hmm. some work for different organizations and agencies making good money, some of them got their first apartments and their first cars, and they're doing great because they had the right people mentoring them and walking them through the process. So when you say a kid got a second chance, I need to know, what did that second chance look like for that kid?
Yeah, and
who was the people that worked with that kid?
No, you're right about that. In a lot of cases, the second chance is just turning them loose back on the street. So let's talk about the root cause of this, because we do have a tremendous gang problem around here, and I'm guessing that you and I both know the root cause of the gang problem, but it's not a very politically correct thing to talk about. You know, we got African American kids with a 70% out of wedlock birth rate, and when you grow up without a dad, and that's a huge burden to overcome. But a lot of people are afraid to talk honestly about some of the root causes that lead these kids into this life.
So let me tap in. I love that question because we are a couple of generations in of dealing with a punitive criminal justice system that locks everybody up. So there's been so many dads that have been taken out of the families and the homes and away from their kids due to the penal system, right? And so now these kids are being raised in the street or by single parents who have to work and are trying to keep, bills and lights on and food in the house. And so now these kids are being influenced by other young men out here in the street. So the dads aren't really there to raise these kids. And then the dads, like I said, have become victims of the same system. Here's what I'm saying. The saying where it says it takes a village to raise a child?
Sure.
Well, our village has been decimated by the systems that have been put in place for us to fall victim to. And so I say this. We have to create our own village. Community has to heal community by coming together and creating a village to help raise these children. These are everybody in our community's children. So when somebody shoots somebody, or when somebody's shooting at somebody and somebody's getting shot at, the victim and the perpetrator are all our children. We need to work with all of these kids to keep them on the right track. But we also need to have the aid of opportunities from organizations that are employers or education systems that will give these kids an opportunity to come back and go back to get a job, get an internship, get training.
I got you. Well, look, hey, as I said at the beginning, I do believe that we need to punish with jail time these kids who rape and murder, but I agree with you 100%. If we're going to do that, we also need to really work with them so that they have a better shot when they get out. And as I said at the very beginning, I appreciate people like you, Dom, who are trying to make a difference because there are a lot of lost kids out there right now. So it's a good work, and I enjoyed talking with you about all this.
Thank you, Dory. I appreciate the interview, bros. Hopefully we can talk again soon. And maybe even have lunch and sit down and get deeper.
All right. Dominique Davis, community activist. Dom, thanks for coming on with me today.
Thank you, Dory. You have a good day.
All right. I'd love to hear your thoughts on all of this. You can text me on the Online Trading Academy text line, 98973. That's 98973. And we got lots more straight ahead here on the Dory Monson Show. Oh, I'm just scrolling through all of your messages on the Online Trading Academy text line. You can always get a hold of us with your text at 98973. That's 98973. The drug RVs all around the region continue to be just an absolute nightmare for the law-abiding citizens, the taxpayers, the job creators. A woman who owns a business in Soto on Friday, her name is Leslie, and Leslie was taking her 150-pound Great Dane. And those Great Danes, man, I knew somebody who had a Great Dane. Those dogs are just gigantic bundles of love. They're very cool dogs. So Leslie's taking her 150-pound Great Dane for a walk near her Soto business. And on the block there, there were two drug RVs. And all of a sudden, a woman throws open the door of one of the RVs. They have three pit bulls. And the pit bulls came straight at Leslie and her Great Dane. She testified before the Seattle City Council yesterday.
I was mauled by three dogs. They took me down. They tried to kill my dog. They severed my hand. They bit the living daylights out of my leg. I have medical bills. I have vet bills. I'm going to probably have to get an attorney. Who's there to back me?
And what's she going to get? Because these drug RVs, they don't have a pot to whiz in. So you can't go after them civilly. You have a city council. And look, we have to get rid. You have to. I don't live in the city. If you live in the city and you have a vote, you must get rid of all city council members, the seven of the nine, who are up for re-election next year. Now, the only problem is there are going to be some whack jobs running. But I think that there are some common sense people who are seeing an opportunity to start to get Seattle back from the drug gangs, from the criminals that have taken over the city. You have a city council. You have, you know, people like Mike O'Brien, who has done everything that he can to encourage the drug criminals throughout the city. But, I mean, every one of them has done that. Jenny Durkin said, we're going to increase our budget for homelessness.
This budget also invests in effective and innovative responses to our homeless crisis. And we do it without raising new taxes on residents and businesses of the city.
Yeah, you're doing such a bang-up job with homelessness and the drug addicts. The woman who was attacked, she's going to join me at 2 o'clock this afternoon in the Big Lead at 2, Leslie Shelton. And she said, look, the city's attitude has to change.
They're putting a Band-Aid on it. That's not what they need. They need to be kicked out of our city. Those that need help, let's get them the help. Those that don't, bye-bye. Go.
Yes, that's what has to happen. We have let the drug squatters take over the city. Why do you think somebody has three pit bulls in their RV in Soto? You think maybe there could be some illegal activity going on, and the innocent citizens are getting mauled. Fast 15 next.